Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 5, and we're back at it, hopefully, now on a more regular basis. The Steelers, of course, 30-17 losers to the Detroit Lions in the opener, preseason opener on Friday at Heinz Field. And if you're catching this early on Monday, the Steelers have moved their practice from St. Vincent College in Latrobe today down to the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. That will not be open to the public. So there will only be one more practice available to the public. That'll be tomorrow at 2:55 up at St. Vincent College. So, Dave, with that, we're back at it. How are things?
Things are great. I know things aren't great right now for Alex. Went up to Latrobe on Sunday. Of course, didn't get to hang around long there as the practice was rained out, and then they had to move it inside to the gym. And it doesn't look like he's going up there today either. So this is the first time in forever that that he hasn't, that they've had a practice rained out completely. Now they've obviously, I think, had some delayed, but definitely, with training camp winding up, we were hoping to get some eyes on this team for these final few practices, but one left now open to the public, and that's going to be on Tuesday, so hopefully he'll be able to get up there and see that final one.
Yeah, okay, so Dave, let's kind of, I know you and Alex talked a bit, but for people who didn't hear the Sunday night podcast, let's kind of review what happened with the game, and as we always do, let's start with the injury report, and Steelers made a couple moves. In fact, they made three roster moves yesterday, which were on the fringe, but one was directly a result of the game, and that was the Steelers. Two were actually placing Ross Ventrone, who's he is the definition of an NFL transaction, on reserve injured list. He got hurt in the preseason opener, and they also Brian Mihalik, the offensive lineman, was put on waived injured. He was one of two, along with Roy Filon, who didn't play. Filon hurt his ankle in one of the practices leading into that game. So, Dave, those are three guys who got they were placed on these lists. Why don't you clarify for me as well as for everybody else exactly what that means? Is Ventrone on the injured reserve list for the season now? And what about the two young guys?
Yeah, that's the straight-out injured reserve list. Now, because he is a vested veteran, meaning he has accrued four seasons or more, he does not need to be he does not have to clear waivers to get placed on IR at this time of the year. Now, had he been a younger player, let's say Cinquez Golson, and they wanted to put him on IR, they would have to waive him injured.
Let's just talk about the other two guys. That's exactly what is happening with them, right? Mihalik and Filon.
Correct. Both these guys are not vested veterans, so they have to be waived injured, and then once they clear waivers, they will end up on IR. So it's all about how you are vested, the accrued seasons as to how you can get to IR. The thing with Ross Ventrone is, now, he'll have to stay on IR until for either the whole season or once he is fully healthy, the team can obviously waive him from IR. So, he suffered a hamstring injury in that game. Someone asked me on Twitter, boy, that must be some serious hamstring injury. And it's obviously going to keep him out a number of weeks now. Did he have some sort of tear or something like that? I don't know. But he has had issues, I think, with hamstrings in the past. If you go back to that Week 5 game last year, the Monday night game against the San Diego Chargers, I think he had one there that kept him out. And I think the previous season as well, too, I thought he missed maybe a game or so because of a hamstring. So, unfortunately, as well-liked as Ross Ventrone is, I think it might be coming to an end for him.
Dave, let's clarify a little bit of what this means, like the waived injured, the injured reserve list. Because if you're placed on this injured reserve list, the general understanding is that you're done for the year. Now, Ventrone's situation, is it, because he is on the injured reserve list, is he unable to play for the Steelers this year?
No, he can, to my knowledge, when he gets healthy, David, if he gets healthy, he has to be released from injured reserve. And then I think he has to the Steelers can't sign him for a number of weeks after that or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. Now, but is he as of right now, guaranteed his whole salary?
I don't know if he has a split salary or not with him. Now, I know the guys like Mahalik and Roy Filon, they have split salaries, which means if they have to get placed on IR, they only get basically half of their, you know, the base salary that they originally signed the contract on. With a guy right. like with a guy like Ventrone and being vested, I don't think he has a split contract, but I could be wrong on that. I'll have to double check with an agent I know on that. But
because you know these things, I know you know when the season starts, the procedures are a little bit different, I think. And you know, we've seen the Steelers already make a bunch of injured reserved, waived injured. And we've seen in the past injured reserve settlement, you know, released, to where they may pay a guy a certain amount and then release him. So this is some of the minutiae. I didn't, you know, it much better than I do, and I don't expect you to know it all off the top of your head. But the deal is, basically, when we saw this happen, I talked to I hope you're listening to the postgame show. I'll be doing it all year long. I was on with Matt this week. He'll be doing the preseason, Matt Williamson, with me. You know, for Ventrone, it was a done deal right there, because you knew when he was out after that play and he's ruled out early in the fourth quarter or first quarter, you know he's not playing again this week on a short week. He's not practicing. He's got a hamstring injury. So that basically rules him out for the first two preseason games entirely. Now, the benefit he has is the Steelers know exactly what they have in him, but obviously if he's not healthy, he's not playing. So, okay, that's an easy one to deal with. Mahalik is a guy the Steelers wanted to get to the practice squad. Well, there's positives and negatives to this. One is they're going to control him for an extra year now if he stays on the injured reserve for the entire season. The huge negative here is this guy is green as grass, and he's making the conversion like Villanueva did, and so a year on the practice squad would be invaluable practice time, and you have to assume that nobody was going to take him and put him on their 53-man roster when the Steelers eventually cut him. Now, a sprained MCL, that's kind of typically, you know, we're talking a minimum of 4 weeks, could be, you know, 8 weeks. So maybe the Steelers will reach some settlement and get him to the practice squad eventually. But for him, you know, there's a small positive, but obviously the negative being injured and now maybe potentially not being able to play football until, you know, February or, you know, January or February, you know, basically mini camps next year. That's the negative. Filon, I don't know that there was a whole lot there. I don't really I can't give you much of an assessment of him, Dave. Do you have any thoughts on him specifically?
Yeah, you could end up seeing this being an injury settlement with him for sure.
Yeah, that's what I would
for
think.
Sure. Let me give you one quick example as far as a vested veteran and preseason IR and split salaries. If you remember back last year, the Steelers had signed kicker Garrett Hartley, and then he proceeded to have a hamstring injury there, I think in the game against Buffalo. The Steelers placed him on IR, but the 1 year contract that Hartley had signed did include a split salary. So in other words, he went to IR, and then eventually they could have worked out an injury settlement with him. I can't remember if they did or not, but at some point he ended up being just released from IR. I think it was once he was healthy. So, you know, we could see the same kind of thing maybe happen with Ross Ventrone here, that maybe they work out some sort of injury settlement, allows him to get back out on the street, get himself healthy. Because you'd hate to see a guy like, if it's a 5 week injury, 6 week injury for a guy like Ventrone, you'd hate to see him not be able to play, you know, somewhere. So I don't expect Ventrone, unless he had some tear that requires surgery, to stay on IR very long.
Okay, yeah, I'm guessing Ventrone's going to be on IR for a period of time because I'm going to guess that this is a, you know, again, a 4 to 6 week injury. But, you know, maybe they waive him injured and he gets a settlement. And look, the Steelers know, much like Batch and eventually, you know, as we'll talk about Gradkowski, he may just be a phone call away down the road. So, all right, let's talk about Bruce Gradkowski. So he goes and he runs two times and he strains a hammy. Gets up, you know, you could tell when he went down the second time that he didn't get up quickly. So you wondered if something was wrong. He got up, he got into formation, and then it looked like he was about to call the, you know, about to run the play, and then he called timeout. And I don't know if he had trouble reading the defense or he just realized he couldn't go, but he comes to the sideline and Dustin Vaughn goes in for him. Now, this is, Dave, I think the most interesting situation because Gradkowski hasn't looked great in camp. He didn't play last year. He's a veteran, but Landry Jones now has experience. Do the Steelers have their third quarterback on the roster? One is Gradkowski, you know, how significant is his injury? If he can't go at all in the preseason now, again, from here, that's a significant issue. And Dustin Vaughn didn't look very good. He's a big, you know, strong-armed guy, but he is a guy who I can't imagine them carrying him as a third quarterback. I mean, you know, he was an outside shot of the practice squad. So now the Steelers may find themselves in a similar position they did this time last year or, you know, next week last year when Gradkowski was injured and they're scavenging for another guy. Now, maybe they're less concerned about experience, but this will be interesting when Mike talks tomorrow, which I imagine will be the next update we get, about Bruce Gradkowski. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's – look, Dustin Vaughn is pretty much who we thought he was going into this. 8 preseason games entering Friday night, kind of, you know, not the most accurate kid. I would like to see him get some time with a little bit better offensive line. I think if you want to get a true evaluation of this guy, you got to put him around at least halfway, surrounding with halfway decent talent. So, you know, with Bruce obviously not going to play Thursday night against the Eagles, and with Ben Roethlisberger, if he does play, only going to probably play a handful of snaps, why not try to get a guy like Dustin Vaughn some serious work with, you know, a little bit better supporting cast to find out what you really have. Not saying that the outcome's going to change, but that's what I think. And if you're going to get another guy, you would think they would have already gotten another guy as far as being a veteran, because there's nothing.
You mean as in would have done it yesterday?
Yeah, if it was going to be a veteran guy. So does that mean that, you know, and what I mean by that is a veteran guy who's unemployed, obviously. Now, do they have guys in other stadiums, scouts in other stadiums right now watching what's going on? Yeah, absolutely. So does that mean that maybe a team around the league might have a number three that's currently number three and have a little bit more experience, number two on their roster and that kind of thing. And then look, you know, what's going to happen with Brian Hoyer? Is he going to stick where he's at right now? You know, so maybe it gives you time to look and survey, get a good idea of what you really have in Dustin Vaughn right now. And then I think you can decide after the fact, watch and see if a guy like Hoyer becomes available.
Yeah, so, and look, the reality is, if it is a veteran guy, it may be final cuts when this all happens for the Steelers. Now, if Gradkowski can't actually perform, and I would assume that's the case here for practice today and this week, if it's going to be more than this week, they need to bring in another arm just to have another camp arm. They're going to need, because, you know, they don't want Ben throwing a ton, and he's taking plenty of time off. So,
yeah, but we are at that stage of camp, though, anyway, where normally number four quarterbacks are kind of turned loose. So, you know, maybe I think personally three is enough right now, as long as three are healthy and able to take reps. Because how much longer are you going to hold on to a fourth quarterback anyway?
Yeah, that's probably right. Probably. Well, I mean, where do they go? They go. They go to another week or two. So it's only a couple practices. So you're right. It's probably not a big deal if they, depending on whether how they want to get through next week at practice. So that'll be the issue. Look, I mean, they've got, you know, they're quickly, you know, they quickly go to fill every one of the 90 spots, which always amazes me because for so many years, you know, they had 80 and it wasn't a big deal. And now, you know, if they don't have 90 guys under contract, it's mayhem. So they made the three roster moves, the three guys they signed. The only, I guess the one of note will be the former Pitt player, which is KK Mosley Smith. Two other guys I've never heard the name of. I'm assuming, Dave, you don't know a ton about them. Wade Hansen, an offensive lineman, and Julian Wiggum, a corner.
Yeah, Wade Hansen comes from Virginia Tech, and then Julian Wiggum from Syracuse. All three of these guys, David, were invited to minicamp this year for the tryouts, you know, during the rookie minicamp. So there's something to that. And Alex wrote about this on Sunday. When that mandatory minicamp gets underway, and you see that long list of players that are brought in on a tryout basis, tuck that thing away, because there's a good chance if during training camp they need a few bodies, that's where they're going to pull from, because they know a little bit about these players. So yeah, a guy like Hansen, you know, tackle. I look at this stage of the game. These guys, you know, Wiggum is a cornerback slash safety. These guys aren't going to get much burn during these next couple of preseason games, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes us through the injury situation. We didn't miss anybody there. We've got to be. Gerald Hawkins, the Steelers, the fourth round pick at LSU, played both sides of tackle in the game the other night. He's got a shoulder injury. There's some speculation that that may be somewhat serious. We'll see. He's a guy who's going to make the team if he's healthy. And if he's not, it's going to be an IR situation. So, you know, nothing more to add to that. He's the other guy that we'll wait to hear, either find out today or tomorrow when Mike talks, to get an update on both Gradkowski and Hawkins. Okay, Dave, I guess that takes us to Ladarius Green. And again, this is a situation where we don't have a ton of information about what actually happened. It's been written about on your site. I've talked about it plenty on my show. So the only thing, just in terms of opinion, Dave, is I think it's ridiculous for some of the guys to have jumped to any kind of conclusion about him never having possibly never playing for the Steelers. You've got the Sidney Crosby situation that shows guys can fully recover even after an extended period of time out. The other component to this is, were the Steelers misled in any way, shape, or form? Nobody knows the answer to that. It's complete speculation, but it appears his ankle is now fine. That is the reason he's on PUP list. That's what Mike Tomlin said. Mike's not misleading anybody. It's why he was originally put on, so they don't have to take him off. So it's the reason he's put on, but the reason he isn't practicing now appears to be headaches or some derivative of sinus headaches, concussion, whatever it may be, and there's been no further word on that.
Oh, wow. What a mess. The thing is, if you go back and go word for word for what Mike Tomlin said after the Detroit Lions game, he was asked, you know, I forgot what the exact word Ed Bouchette asked when he asked the question. What did he say? Oh, he said, can you elaborate on these reports? And Mike Tomlin said, I can, but I won't at this juncture. That's a key statement right there, right? I mean, the wording is, if I only gave you that answer right there from Tomlin to Ed Bouchette asking, can you elaborate on those headache reports, which direction are you going?
I'm not going any direction. It's just Mike Tomlin has more information than everybody else, and so he could give you an answer one way or the other, but he's not going to do it.
Well, I mean,
I'm not trying to be flip about it. I don't know. It's either, well, those are ridiculous, or, you know, yeah, there's some truth to that, but We weren't misled. I mean, there are about 50 tentacles that can come out of the possible answer. So I just have no idea.
Well, it would lead someone like me to think, well, there's some, you know, there's some fire where there's this little bit of smoke. Now, he did go on to say the rest of his reply was he's on PUP because of his ankle. We stated that. He's rehabbed nice. He's gotten better in that area, but he's not ready to go. I'm not going to respond to reports from unnamed sources. No. So, I mean, that's, you know, who knows? But, I mean, look, you have a guy like immediately, you know, after the Didi Kinkle ball report came out, you had guys like Florio writing about retirement, Steelers.
I just thought that was way over the top.
Well, now, you know, he writes something like that. People don't read the could and maybe and possibly. And then all of a sudden you get kind of, re-reporting going on saying IR or possible cut possible for Ladarius Green. You know, that becomes, everybody goes to that side of the fence there, and I even wrote originally that's kind of drastic for Florio to write that kind of stuff. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible that he might have to retire, and you know, if he didn't inform the Steelers about the headaches, that they could possibly go after his signing bonus. But I think there's a lot in the middle there, you know, the full middle of the Twinkie, if you will, that we don't know what's going on here. So it's kind of extreme to already be jumping to that conclusion that, oh my God, the Steelers might not have Ladarius Green this year. That's possible. He might, who knows? He might have to start the regular season on reserve PUP, but even that, I think right now, is a stretch. Now, would you like to see him back on the field practicing here, you know, immediately after the game against the Eagles, so that he can play in the third one with Ben Roethlisberger? Absolutely. Now, if that doesn't happen, if he's not able to get himself back on the field for that third preseason game, then, you know, might start be time to wondering whether or not he's going to be ready to go for the start of the season.
All true. I agree with all that stuff. So we'll see. You know, look, we're good at speculating, but I think this is pretty idle speculation. I think people understand that
we're good at speculating. We're not good at speculating.
Yeah. So, you know, like we said, we'll see what happens with Tomlin on Tuesday. And maybe that'll give us some more. You know, he'll obviously be ranked.
I was talking to Aditi via direct message, and I said, "Man, he's starting this one out the way he did Marquise Pouncey." Remember?
Yep.
Remember you asked him week in, week out. It seemed like about Pouncey, and he's on IR. And little do we know, going on in the background there, he's having like 25 surgeries.
Yeah, right. Exactly. 7 surgeries, and we didn't hear a word about it. Okay, so let's get to the game. You know, Dave, the one of the things, and again, kind of discussed this at length on the pregame show, is the result's not important. And this is the time of year where it's the individual performances that are significant. During the season, yeah, we talk about individual performances, but you're really concerned about the overall result. Here it's the opposite. The overall result is meaningless, and the individual performances are significant. And why don't we start on the defensive side of the ball just for a change of pace. A couple of the guys who stood out positively, Doran Grant would be one. Chickalo, we didn't mention him with the injury, but he got some playing time and did some things to kind of carry over what's been going on in camp. Doran Grant was a guy who's not really been talked about much in training camp. Obviously, he gets the pick six, which will be as easy as it gets, but made some nice tackles as well. Javon Hargrave did a couple nice things. I thought Ricardo Matthews did some nice things on the defensive line. Surprised Shazier played as much as he did. We saw a bunch of guys go into the second quarter. Golden and somebody else played the entire first half.
Cockrell
played the entire first half. Those were on the good. Artie Burns kind of on the bad. Just you know, welcome to the NFL stuff. You know, figuring out where he was, missed some tackles.
You mean Sean Davis?
Sean Davis, right. And just want to throw some stuff out at that smorgasbord.
Yeah, well, Chickalo really didn't do much of anything. Now, we just got our charting in, and it'd be fun to look at how many times he dropped. There were a lot of quick passes in the game. He didn't stick out on tape, period. Really. Now,
I feel like I saw him getting some pressure a couple times.
Yeah, there was maybe 1.5 pressures, I think, maybe around the edge. I mean, just overall, the hype surrounding him, Steeler fans expected 7 sacks in this game out of Cockrells. I mean, out of Chickalo. So it wasn't as impactful as a guy like, say, the rookie Javon Hargrave. Alex already broke him down pretty extensively. A real solid game from him. Ricardo Matthews, it was good to see him kind of hit the ground running, and especially when he was teamed up with a guy like rookie Javon Hargrave there. It was nice to see Daniel McCullers get long stretches of burn to work on his conditioning. Kind of a vanilla taste in my mouth coming out of that watching his tape. I thought Golden had a good game. I thought Sean Davis settled down after a poor start, especially when he got moved in to safety. Let's see who else am I missing here. Grant, I thought, had, you know, outside of him blitzing one time when he wasn't supposed to.
Although are we 100%, I guess Shamarco kind of made it clear by kind of his gestures that he probably wasn't supposed to do that, right?
So yeah, and Shamarco said after the game as well too that they failed to get the word to Duran Grant on that play. So okay. I mean, they sent 7 on that play. So, you know, you're leaving someone like that uncovered. That's a blow. Blown coverage for sure, and like I said, that's what Shamarco said after the game. So it is what they did. They said the communication wasn't there. They didn't make sure to tell him he was in the wrong defense and that kind of thing. So Keshawn Lyons, I posted one clip this one gif this morning of him running after the football. I thought was good. I thought LT Walton, who that's another player, had back stiffness that we'll have to watch to see if he's able to play against the Eagles. I thought he did a couple of nice things in there. One time on the right side, he stood his man up, got his arms extended, was able to separate and get in on the tackle. Trying to see who else here. Vince Williams had a lot of burn in the game. I was surprised he played as long as he did. Jordan Dangerfield had some nice snaps in the box. LJ Fort, I thought, represented himself well. And I think that's about...
I think LJ Fort's going to make this team.
It's going to be... He's going to be tough to keep off. That's for certain. It's probably going to be... 5 inside linebackers kept, one would think. And you would think Steven Johnson, as much as he plays on special teams, and that being his forte, has to help his chances there. So obviously at least 4 inside linebackers and possibly even 5 with Fort and Matakevich battling for that last spot.
Yeah, I think both Johnson and Fort are going to make it. I think for special teams as well, good. I thought he did good stuff. So I think Matakevich is in trouble here early.
Steven Johnson had 16 special. He led the team in special team snaps on Friday night, and Dangerfield had 15, and Fort had 11, and Matakevich had 10. So they're definitely going to get a look at these guys, these backup inside linebackers on special teams.
Yeah, Dan Dangerfield, obviously things open up for him at safety because there's not really a fifth safety. If they want to go 5 and 5 in the backfield versus 4 and 6, that's going to be his opportunity. Again, another guy that hadn't been talked about a whole lot during training camp. So okay, Dave, that kind of, that's a fair assessment on the defensive side of the ball. Offensive side of the ball, Darryl Richardson is clearly the guy who stood out. One of the things I guess I would start with is Eli Rogers is going to be a much bigger part of this offense than anybody had any idea of going into training camp. He's going to be a guy who's on the field a lot. Now, we know Hayward Bay is going to be on the field. He's going to, be oftentimes if they go 2 wide receivers on first down, he may be the guy because of his blocking capability. Wheaton's going to get time. You know, Sammy Coates didn't have his best day, but I loved how he handled his post-game interview. Just took total responsibility. Said he'd never fumbled before in his career. Said it was his fault. Needed better ball security. Didn't make any excuses. Just said he had to do a better job. So that's the best you can hope for. But Rodgers in there with the first team early. I think he was only targeted and caught one ball, or maybe targeted twice. But he is going to be a big part of the offense. And Daryl Richardson's the other guy who made a significant impact.
Can you define big part of the offense? I mean, how many plays are you thinking a guy like Eli Rodgers? Let's say
I would say 20 a game.
You think Eli Rodgers is going to be that big of a part of the offense?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to take the under there. Wow. I mean, granted, I mean, a great route runner, a great, you know, a guy that's put together, has the experience to play the slot. But, man, 20 snaps, David?
Yeah, I think he'll play, you know, we'll see kind of, you know, Wheaton's health and everything else. But I think you'll see Rodgers in the slot a lot of the time and maybe supplant Wheaton at times, or, you know, guys getting blows. But I think he's going to get – let's see what are the, you know, I would say, yeah, between
that's 33% of the offensive snaps,
150 to 250 snaps. Yeah.
You saying 20 snaps a game.
Yeah. So, well, I was thinking kind of, I was going to go at 200. So that's a little bit, that would be, you know, kind of 15 a game, I guess would be closer to it. So I was kind of thinking 200 to 250. So let's go 15 snaps a game would be 225. So that's probably a better guess.
Wow, Les Wheaton's injured, not able to start the season, which who knows with that.
Well, I think, you know, with four receivers, you're going to have somebody injured at some point in time. So.
And, yeah, we'll see. I could see him getting a handful, you know, four or five snaps maybe a game. But 20, I'm not ready to go there on that. But it is nice to see that it looks like they have something there. Definitely smart, a good route runner there. It would be a shocker at this point, obviously, if he does not make the roster. So, here's the thing. I guess it was the rotations and the time of possession and not holding on to the football. He only played 16 offensive snaps Friday night against the Detroit Lions. It'd be interesting to see if that number kind of doubles in this second game against Philadelphia. Hey, Kobe Hamilton, look, he's got no shot to make the roster, but I thought he kind of represented himself in that game late.
Yeah, I remember a catch or two. At the later part of the game, I'm focused more on the show. I can't tell you a lot about what I saw from Kobe Hamilton.
Yeah, maybe a guy that can maybe give you something on the practice squad if you decide not to keep, a guy like DeMarcus Ayers. So, obviously, a guy like Kobe Hamilton is auditioning not only for the Steelers, but 31 other teams around the league as well, too. Let's see where else. Jesse James played a lot of snaps. I thought he, you know, for the most part, represented himself well. Grimble didn't play a whole heck of a lot. Couple of nice blocking opportunities he had that he made sure that he took care of.
What about offensive line? I mean, you know, Ali Villanueva, I saw him say he had a terrible game. When he did the post game interviews, any other thoughts on the offensive linemen?
Yeah, I mean, just 10 snaps for those starters not named Cody Wallace, I think. You don't have the all 22 during preseason, David, and that's discouraging. Both Hubbard and Finney up and down. I thought Finney did have a nice reach block on one of those runs to the outside that Richardson had. Hubbard moved around quite a bit. Finney did see extensive time at center. I thought maybe, quite honestly, I thought maybe his time at center was better than his time at guard during the game. Hawkins, I thought, represented himself better at right tackle than he did left tackle. Oh, what else? I think that's the meat and potatoes of the guys that had the shot at roster spots here. The thing about Hubbard is he plays so many damn positions. You know, he's so position flexible. And look, we'll watch what happens with his shoulder injury with Hawkins, and God, you hope it's not season-ending or long-term. But if it is, that almost solidifies a guy like Chris Hubbard to make the roster.
Yeah, and I don't know. I haven't had a chance to transcribe, and I hope I will get a chance to transcribe my interview with Mike Munchak that I played Thursday. I think it's running on Steelers Nation Radio, but Mike Munchak had very good things to say about Chris Hubbard. When we got through the first kind of six players, the starting five and the two left tackles, starting four and the two left tackles, he went right to Chris Hubbard and said, he's had a really good camp and a lot of versatility, can do a lot of things. So, Hubbard's a lock to make this team. And with Cody Wallace, that gives you eight guys right there. And then it's just a question of, do you keep him B.J. Finney or is he straight to the practice squad? He was the other guy who was mentioned. Mihalik obviously is not going to be in this conversation. So as we thought coming in, offensive line's a position of strength, and it's a position that's well-defined in terms of the depth as well. So there's not going to be a lot of surprises at that position.
Yeah, I forgot to mention Ryan Harris. Ryan Harris was Ryan Harris. Push back right off the this. Ryan Harris is not sexy at all, but I mean, he can't.
These guys played in the league.
Yeah, he's played in the league. He's done his time. Played right and left tackle, albeit not great at times. But he pretty much is what he is.
All right. So he's just trying to think.
Toussaint didn't do anything to lose the job, the other night of a handful of snaps that he played. Obviously, Richardson looked good on several runs. That's going to be a nice battle to watch moving forward here. Without a doubt, I mean, it's between Toussaint and Richardson, and has been for a couple of weeks now here. Guys like Brandon Brown Dukes and Stingley and the other young running backs on the roster here really don't have a prayer, if you ask me. So now it all comes down to, is Le'Veon Bell going to have to serve this 4-game suspension? And if he does, I think it's pretty clear cut that you're going to go in there with D'Angelo Williams, Toussaint, and Richardson, unless they go outside of the organization here during the final round of cuts. Now, if Bell is able to play in those first four games, well, then you have a decision. Is it going to be Toussaint? Is it going to be Richardson? So, that's definitely going to be fun to watch play out. Special teams, Jordan Berry just taking it to Will Bundy already, right? I mean, we're almost to the point now where it wouldn't be surprising if they turn Bundy loose.
All right, it's over. You keep two legs in camp, too, for that. But, Jordan Berry, the issue with him has always been consistency. He was okay last year. One of the things we probably get a little too hung up on just the pure net and distance numbers. The Steelers obviously ask a lot of their punters directionally, and I think the third punt that Berry hit, the first one in the second quarter, where it was 57 yards and it was directionally right on the sideline, so the Lion returner basically caught it and stepped out of bounds. I mean, that just shows you all you need. I mean, look, it was a warm night, and he cranked, 61, 63. I mean, it's just they were magnificent punts. I mean, if you had somebody who was giving you that during the NFL season, he'd be your Pro Bowl and All-Pro guy. So you couldn't have had a better night than he had. Will Monday then came out on his first punt and hit a 36-yard line drive that was returned probably 20 yards. And not that the competition was really seen to be much of a competition, but that's a TKO. That baby's over. Special teams, Danny Smith's going to have plenty to kill guys about. The touchdown return where nobody laid a finger on him. Boswell was in the hole, and the positive there is he didn't get hurt. And look at some of the punts, like the one I mentioned, and maybe one other. There were some good punt returns, so it's not that concerning in terms of the fan base being concerned about special teams performance, because it's not a unit yet, and we don't know exactly the guys out there in the second half. I couldn't tell you exactly who was out there, but those won't be the guys out there in the regular season, but that'll keep Danny Smith busy.
Yeah, you can't judge the unit as a whole for sure, because you don't even know half the guys aren't probably even playing together just yet. And a lot can happen when it comes to that unit. So I'm not so concerned about that. I just like to see the solid punting by Barry. Obviously, you want your kickers to make their kicks at all times too. What else do we have here with this thing? Tackling on defense has got to get better, especially with guys like Shamarco Thomas. Sean Davis, here's the thing about Sean Davis in college. Yes, Sean Davis missed his fair share of tackles, but let me tell you, Sean Davis was in on a lot of tackles. So the more opportunities that you – I'm not making an excuse for him. He's not going to win an award for the best form tackler, but – the more you're around the football, the more opportunities you're going to have tackles, the higher your chance you are going to miss a few of them. So I'm not concerned about Sean Davis just yet. More than anything, I just like to see him get more time in the slot and get comfortable there. I think he kind of underestimated a guy like Anquan Boldin, how strong he was and how quick off the line he is. So I think it was kind of a real welcome to the NFL type moment for him early in that game against the Detroit Lions. So a guy like Grant, you like to see him be physical on the edge out there and tackling guys. Really enjoyed that as well too.
Yeah, there were a lot of good tackles by the DBs. I mean, they missed a couple, but Willie Gay had a couple nice sticks. Grant, Sean Davis had one or two. So, overall, Dave, the performance, it is what it was. The offense never really got going. Landry Jones, we didn't even mention the touchdown pass. They saw what they wanted on first down. You got one man coverage out there on Cresdon Butler, who actually had his hands up there to make the play. He was a little bit unlucky, and it was a really great play by Darius Edward Bay, not just to make the catch, but to get his feet down. I mean, I watched it live, and I just turned to the guys next to me, so there's no chance in hell he got his feet in. And, of course, he did. So good work by him. He the first third down play of the game, you can either really question Landry Jones' judgment on the throw where he got it an inch over, or it just got slightly nicked by the safety underneath and hit DHB in the hands. But he obviously had to react to the guy in front of him. Or you can say, boy, that was an incredibly dangerous throw by Landry Jones. Either incredibly dangerous or it was a perfect throw right over the safety. But you can call that a drop or not. That's what he was involved in. Sammy Coates, we talked about, not a pretty day. A double catch on an easy quick hitter, and then a drop on a ball sliding and the two fumbles. So not his best day. But the offense really didn't do a lot. As they say, Darryl Richardson was clearly the standout guy.
Yeah, no rhythm and not making key plays when it mattered the most in that game prevented the offense from staying out on the field and continuing drives. I thought Landry Jones was accurate for the most part. I broke down all of his throws and had the steals of those up on SteelersDepot.com. Already had them up yesterday. So not concerned there. That deep ball that he threw to Darius Hayward Bay, that might be the best deep ball he's thrown since he's been in the NFL.
I can't remember deep throws made. I thought maybe he was a touch late with it, but yeah, it was right there. So it was a touchdown. So he got
and
it.
And he had max protection on the play as well too, and it showed. He had plenty of time to step up in there and deliver that throw by Jones, David, 47 yards past the line of scrimmage on a 3rd and 16. Oh no! Wait! That was the incomplete one. I told you the wrong one. Hold on. Let me give you the right one here. To DHB. Do I have that here? 38 yards in the air, past the line of scrimmage on the touchdown to DHB.
Yeah. Well, it was I think first down from the 27 or 29, whatever it was, and he caught it in the back of the end zone. So.
Might have been his best throw I've seen him make deep. That's what I'm trying to say. What else we got? I think we pretty much dusted this thing off top to bottom. Be interesting to see how much this offensive line is allowed to go in the second game. How much Ben Roethlisberger is allowed to play? I guess Mike Tomlin will talk to the media on Tuesday, right?
Yep.
And and we should learn a little bit more maybe about Gerald Hawkins later today, learn whether or not Chicolo with that ankle will be able to get on the field this week. For the most part, yes, this team has suffered a few injuries, but knock on wood, this is a healthy bunch right now.
Yeah, so we'll come back at it. We'll try and maybe do this Wednesday and with just a short podcast recap what Mike says and the practice Monday and Tuesday as they wrap up stuff at St. Vincent and get ready for the game Thursday. Kind of maybe take a look at what we think playing time will be on Thursday and the like. So why don't we plan on Wednesday, Dave, and we'll come back at it then. We'll probably take a look around the NFL for the first time as
okay.
well.
Okay, Jerry Dulac's reporting, apparently Steelers have changed their mind and will conduct regular practice this morning at St. Vincent College to avoid weather. Does that make sense?
Okay. That changes my day again, dramatically.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com and find the donate button in the top right navigational bar. All right, David, you better get after it.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.